Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Palshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to India Glycols Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Sunidhi Securities. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on India Glycols Limited Q1 FY25 results conference call. I would like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host the call and congratulate them for a good set of numbers. We are joined on this call with India Glycols management, represented by Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Marwah, Head Sales and Marketing, BSPC, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head Liquor Business, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak Saraswat to initiate this proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, so a very good afternoon to everybody who has joined, and thank you for joining us. I, along with my colleagues, will give you a quick snapshot of how the quarter has been, and then we will take some questions. So I'll take you through financial highlights, a quick review of the segments, and a quick view of the financials as well. So as you may have had an opportunity to look at, we've had a good quarter, I can say, especially I know we, over the last couple of years or couple more than that, we have been through a bit of a tight situation on the India Glycols front for all the reasons that we have discussed with you, for the several questions that we have answered. But it appears that broadly, in terms of the strategy of the company, it has been, you know, it has kind of worked for us, and it is also reflecting in the performance for the quarter, as it also did in the performance for the last year. So if you look at our gross revenue, it is up to 2,283 crores in the quarter, which is up 21%. On the net revenue front, which is net of excise, we clocked a revenue of 969 crores, which is up 41%. So, and also our EBITDA is up to 128, which is up 21%. And our PAT margin is also up by 18%. So overall, I think a satisfying and a good growth quarter from our perspective. And if you look at most ratios, they have moved in the right direction. Now, there are several things we will talk about. I think I would highlight here that one of the things which has driven our top line, as well as, you know, addition to the bottom line, is the emerging biofuels business. And having said that, I think even in the chemical space, as well as portable spirit segments, we've seen good growth in top line as well as bottom line. Now, you remember we have had several discussions where we've briefed you that our strategy to get into grain-based ethanol was kind of also expedited by the fact that imported ethanol prices were very high, which was something that happened after, you know, many years of stability. So that helped us to mitigate the prices, but it also provided us the opportunity to cater to the blending market that we are selling right now. And more importantly, the imported ethanol prices softened, and therefore all the grain-based ethanol that we were producing, we were able to channelize into the biofuel space. And I will talk about what's happening in the biofuel and ethanol space, while many of you may be quite aware of it anyway. So, if I look at, again, one level, one layer below, our net revenue surged by 41%, and for the chemicals business, now what we've also done is that till last quarter, we were reporting ethanol sales into the power fuel blending sector as a part of chemicals, but considering that it has become significant by itself, it is now reported as a separate segment. So you see that our chemicals business and basically specialties and performance chemicals business is 17% up year-on-year in terms of top line. And the biofuels business on a quarter-to-quarter comparison has improved from 65 crore to 139 crore, which contributes significantly. And the portable space business has also done very well to grow by 19.1% year-on-year. Our Ennature Biopharma business has also seen a modest, relatively speaking, a modest top-line growth of 8%. And that is therefore also reflected in an EBITDA increase by 21.3% and an EBITDA margin, which is also better than the last few years, as you can see a steady trend at 13.2%. So we in terms of some of the things that it was worth talking about, we have over the last two and a half years talked about our intent to invest in new value-added chemicals, starting from almost scratch, from R&D, pilot plant, commissioning one plant. We are nearly, you know, full with commissioning, and I think I can say that while it's a little early, as you know, specialty chemical businesses take time to build, working with customers through partnerships and development work, which is what makes them specialty chemicals. You know, we've had a good start, and we have we are quite confident in terms of the foundation that we see has been built for the new value-added chemicals business. And the other thing that we've talked about, our joint venture has also seen significant recovery in margin, which is the joint venture with Clarion, which had also been under cost pressure for some time. And now you see why the joint venture top line has been, has seen a nominal growth, but there has been quite a significant growth in terms of the EBITDA of the gross margin, which is upwards of 35%. And a lot of it is on account of the improved cost position and the ethinoxide that we supply to them. So that's one thing. And Anandi, I will give a bit of a segmental commentary, but could you highlight financials?
Thank you, sir. So now for the Q1 25, on consolidated basis, the gross revenue is 2,285 crores, which is up by 12% vis-a-vis the last quarter and 20% vis-a-vis the Q1 24. The net turnover, your net revenue from operations is 969 crores vis-a-vis 926 crores in the last quarter, which is up by 5%. And Q1 24, it was 689, so the up by 41%. PBT is 64.93, I will say 65 against 51 crores in the last quarter that ended on 31st March 24. And Q1 24, it was 58 crores. PAT, PAT is 60 crores against 42 crores in the last quarter and 51 crores in Q1 24. For the current quarter on consolidated basis, the EPS is 19.5 vis-a-vis 13.63 in Q4 of the last year and 17 rupees in Q1 24. So this is what is the brief consolidated results.
Okay, thank you. Let me talk about our segments a little bit. So if you look at our chemical segment, for example, we have seen an EBIT margin of 9.9%, and which is up from 336 to. EBITDA margin of 9.9%, a top line growth to 393.
It's super number, it can growth. Can.
So these are not growth numbers, I got. And for our portable spirit business, the number that I talked about, we saw a growth from 235 to 280 crores, which is 19% up, and with a EBITDA margin of 17.5%. In the biofuel segment, our EBITDA margins, not only have we seen an increase in terms of our top line, which I mentioned, but also because of the improved structure of the cost, which is dependent on several things, which includes the cost of grain to us, the selling price of DDGS, and the sale price of ethanol. The overall margin position for biofuels has also improved from which is EBIT margin position, from close to 5% to close to 8% now. In general, top highlights in terms of the segmental performance, I've talked about the numbers. We see that to some extent our cost pressures have continued, but despite that, we have seen improvement both in top line as well as bottom line as well as percentage EBITDA margin. And we continue to work on optimizing our costs, mainly by looking at how we can optimize our internal costs, energy costs, as well as processing costs. Whilst you know the numbers for Barefield, since we've also separated it as a segment just now, I'll give you a quick update on what's happening in this space. So if you know, from 2014, where India hardly did any blending, in 1920, we moved to about 5% blending against a target of 5%. In 2021, the government had a target of 10% and we moved to about 8.1% blending. In 2022-23, the government had a target of 12% and as a country, we did a target of 12%. In 2023-24, there's a target of 15% blending and the blending in April was about 12.1%, but blending in May is 15.4%. So, in short, what I'm trying to say is that the blending program is on track and we expect that the 2023-24 blending program will finish with about 14% blending. Now, we also have some assessment, I may not be precise here, in terms of the capacities that exist in the country for ethanol. And we see that the blending program will move up from 15% to 17% to 20%. And it will be fair to assume that even by 25-26, even if we don't do 20%, hopefully we'll do, it will be fair to look at the track record and say that we'll probably end up doing 18% plus blending. What this means is that if this level of blending has to happen, the country is still significantly short of ethanol capacity, which in some senses is a good news for the business, that we don't see overcapacity happening over the next few years. And considering that IVL has an advantage in terms of our cost structures, in terms of our brownfield sites, and also in terms of our synergies in ethanol, I think it is good from an IVL perspective. And also, the government has supported its mandate by, you know, increasing the procurement price for ethanol, which stands at close to 64 rupees for damaged food grade-based ethanol, surplus right with FCI at 58.5. We see going forward an encouragement for people to also start using maize, and the supporting price for that ethanol is also good by the government. At this point in time, is close to 71.86 rupees. So that, in general, I have shared this data with you to highlight that it appears that the blending program is on track and we are confident that this part of the business over the foreseeable future will continue to remain an important driver for top line as well as bottom line for IVL as well as some other players who've made a head start in this business. In terms of our portable spirits performance, you know, we've seen a... So our revenue at 180 crores is up 19.1%, and EBIT at 49 crores is up 14.2% with EBIT margin of 17.5%. Of course, we'll look at some of the questions later on, but sales have been driven mainly by increase in cyclical sales in Uttarakhand, and we continue to maintain our dominant positions, a big dominant position in Uttarakhand, but also a dominant position in the UP market. In terms of our IMFL sales, or the Indian-made foreign liquor sales, our sales have been driven with excellent growth in the UP market and also a relatively new area for us, which is our product approved in the paramilitary sales. In NHF Biopharma, which is a relatively smaller segment, which is plant-based extracts and nutraceuticals, we've seen a healthy top-line growth, but we've had, because of a number of reasons, you know, cost pressures, particularly both on nicotine as well as thiopolysticide, which means that our margins have remained under pressure. However, we continue to look at, one, greater penetration of the regulated markets of US and Europe, That needs significant amount of work, and we are in the process of working on that. And we continue to look at more value-added products in this area. So that is a quick snapshot of the quarter from my side. And I think maybe we can take questions and respond to the specifics.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Bala Subramanian from Aryan Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question is regarding this 1,160 crore allocation to oil companies. How much you are confident achieving those allocation contract by this year? And secondly, biofuel side, we can see 7.8 kind of margins. Can we see double-digit margins in coming quarters? These are my first question.
In terms of the allocation, we've looked at the number, you know, and we have seen that, you know, they give an allocation, you know, we've tracked our allocation number for what is known as internal supply year, which starts with November. And the tender allocation for us, for example, starting with November 23, we have seen that. Yeah, there is somebody who's speaking. Can I request to please mute their mic?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have seen that the actual orders that the oil companies place have been only slightly lower than the allocations that they've given. And I don't have the exact numbers, but it has been, you know, 90 to 95% of the allocation that has been given. Our projection is that this kind of trend will continue, and while we may miss the allocation numbers slightly, but by and large, the kind of numbers broadly that we have given to you, we should be able to meet. It does depend on, it's not a, you know, contract as such, while it's an allocation that they give. There are many factors like logistics, etc., based on the ability of the oil companies to be able to blend throughout the country. Sometimes the orders are a bit lower than allocation. Now, from your perspective, you know, I had mentioned to you and I had given data for many years based on the target that the government had on percentage lending and the actuals that the country achieved. So if you look at the last several years, more or less we've tracked the target. And our projection is that compared to a target of 15% blending, we will do 14% this year. So, and I think so by and large the blending story is intact. Now as far as gross margins is concerned, or the EBIT margin that we talk about 7.8%, I think it's very difficult for me to speculate whether this will become better, because it is a function of several things. It is a function of grain prices which have been tight. It is a function of what we are able to do in terms of DGS sales. I think DGS is as a source of protein we are looking at newer ways of utilizing it. Not only are we looking at it, but the industry is looking at it. And it is also a function of the price that the government gives on procurement of ethanol. I would imagine the right thing to assume would be that the government is committed for the blending program, and because the government is significantly involved in regulating it and controlling it in some way, they will keep it profitable. But it is not a business where, you know, suddenly if the demand is high and the supply is low, you can fetch a huge amount of price. So that's my overall take.
Shuklaji, would you like to add something on?
Yes. Because government is continuously insisting to promote the maize to better the profitability of the industry and the farmer board. So industry and associations are doing hard. And we have already started our maize farming in our own catchment area, of Gorakhpur, and we are going to start from the Kashipur, and we are expecting approximately to 20 to 25% would be the self catchment area match availability in 2025-26. So certainly we are focusing on the variety which would impact the ethanol yield, better yield, and second, the catchment area in which we are focusing, we would like to ensure the back-to-back logistics so that the entire approximately 70 to 80% match which grown by the farmer would be made available to the, our industry. So the state government is also assisting us. So as far as the raw material is concerned, in couple of years, we hopefully very positive about the availability of the new maize crop, which is the most essential for the those land where the water availability is a challenge in part of UP and in some part of attached to the our Kashipur plant, where the irrigation is the problem. You know that the 50% water is 40% less water is requirement of the maize crop. So looking to the all these scenario, the availability of maize for the industry would seems to be very comfortable in next 2 to 3 years.
Got it, sir. So my next question regarding this, the new this commissioning of plant NSU, like supposed to be complete by this quarter. So what kind of progress in those capex and what kind of volumes we can expect in coming quarters?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
So this NSU plant supposed to be complete in this quarter. And what kind of, right now we are doing around 150 tons per month. And post these completions, what kind of ramp up we can expect, what kind of additional revenue opportunities. And other capex plans also you can lightly touch upon. Like this grain-based distillery and bio-based ethanol capex progress. How much capex we can we spend in this quarter, Q1?
Yeah, so I take the question on new chemicals, and I think Kripati and Anandji will take the question on capex on bio-ethanol. So look, as I mentioned to you, we've had a good start in terms of our project. And if this business is different from, say, an ethanol business or a petrochemical business where you have a ready demand and you are able to then starting to cater to it. It involves working with partners to customize, work on development projects. So that, for us, has been a good story. And it is difficult. I don't take this as a projection. But I think in the financial year, we are targeting to do 150 to 200 crore kind of top line through new value-added products, which in my opinion, if we are able to do, is a very good start. Considering, you know, keep this in context compared to some other specialty chemicals businesses or our own business which was there, you know, which after many, many years had reached levels of 600 to 700 crores. So in that context, to for a specialty chemical business to start hitting 100 to 200 crores in the kind of first year after commissioning is, I think, a very healthy sign. But these are projects which are not only dependent on capacity, these are dependent on application know-how, technology development. The pipeline is robust and we are working on it.
It's not regarding the capexes which we are already in for the increase in the capacity in Kashipur from 400 KL to 500 KL. We hope that that capex will be completed in third quarter. And as far as the capex which we have undertaken in Gorakhpur from 110 to 290 KL, I think that will also be completed in third quarter.
We will be able to start both the plants with adding the 50% of additional capacity with effect from the new ethanol year, maybe November second half or first week of December, which would be adding our 50% additional capacity.
In respect of the expenditure on the capex in Q125, we have spent around 60 crore rupees on all the capexes, whatever is going on right now. And hopefully will be capitalized once
these are completed.
Got it, sir. So my last question regarding this photo.
Can you join back the queue, sir?
Fine, madam. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Imran Khan from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon. I am fairly new to the company, so my questions would be a little fundamental and maybe repetitive. So please excuse me for this. First question is on the portable spirit business. I wanted to understand what raw material do you use for this business to make ENA?
So 100% grain-based ENA we use, which may be the broken rice, which unfit for the human consumption, and second, maize. So we are consuming both the feedstock for the making of extra neutral alcohol.
And so lately, where is the raw material basket tilting towards? Is it maize, or it is still substantially broken rice?
Yes, certainly. Maize is in India, which be more popular for using the making the ethanol from the last 13 to 14 months. So maize is very new. So mostly we are using grain. Talking about the Indian-made foreign liquor.
Yeah.
Indian-made foreign liquor we make from the grain-based ethanol, and country liquor we make from the both grain-based and the molasses-based.
Got it. And the second question is on the biofuel business. So you reported, EBIT margins for Q1 and, Q1 for FY 25 and 24. But I was looking for, the same margins for Q4 FY 24, but I didn't find it. So can you please share that if it is possible?
Okay, we will share separately.
Would it be similar or there would be a marginal difference compared to Q1?
Anand can share the numbers to you, but in fact, I had spoken about it earlier that our biofuel margins have actually improved slightly. But we can give you the specifics, we have the numbers.
Okay. I'll wait for that.
I can give you right now.
Okay.
For Q4 financial year 24, the EBIT margin was 7.9%, while in the current quarter it is 7.82%. So what CEO sir is saying, it has improved.
Right. So then in that case, you don't make biofuel from grain, is it? Because in Q4, I think the grain cost was very, very high and people had very, margins were a little lower for almost all the people. You haven't seen that thing at all?
No, we are making 100% ethanol from the grain base. Our margin would be, operational efficiency and better sourcing. So all these things will be depend on the making margin.
Are you calling out?
Just to add to that, I mentioned to you, I think your previous Bala had asked us a question or somebody had asked us a question,
Bala,
as to whether our margins in the biofuels business we see getting into double digits. When I responded, that is actually a function of many things. Grain price is one of the factors. There is also selling price of DDG. There are energy costs and conversion costs. And more importantly, there is a procurement price which is decided by the government. So if you are seeing an improvement in margin, it is on account of while grain have gone up, they've also come down a little bit. It is a function of a combined effect of these factors.
Right. Completely understand. Just one last thing before I move to the queue. Can you call out the average grain cost for Q1 and Q4, if it is possible?
I think around 26 and a half.
So you want separate numbers or you want what is it running right now?
He won't be able
to. If you would be able to share for rice and maize separately, that would be very helpful. Yeah.
I suggest you just, you know, we will share these numbers with you. You want for previous year and this year and so on. Just document.
Not previous year. Yeah, maybe last quarter and Q4 only, just two quarters.
We will share with you.
Okay, right now we are not having that handy.
Okay.
Send me the mail, I will give you the figure.
All right, I'll fall back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ranbir Singh from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. And congratulations for good number in this quarter. Two questions I have. One related to industry dynamics around ethanol. I just wanted to understand that how much ethanol is required to meet the 20% blending. And of that, how much has already been supplied? So what I see in news, that roughly 401 crore liter has been supplied, and that constitutes 15.9% of against targeted 20%. So they have reached 15.9% in June. So that translates into some 550 crore liters required for 20% blending. So I think somewhere I am not calculating. My calculation seems wrong. So just I wanted to understand how much liters actually government need to meet a 20% blending.
So I will respond to this in terms of our assessment. I don't have some authentic source to quote to you that this is the exact number. But our assessment based on percentages and I think some sources which my colleague would have looked at is that the total demand for ethanol has risen at 5% blending, obviously the consumption also increases, no? So 5% is of the increased number. From something like 173 crore liters in 1920 to expected 725 crore liters in 2023-24, which is at, you know, 14 to 15% blending. Now, this number is expected to go up to broadly 1000 crore liters in 2024-25. And in my assessment, if you do 18% blending rather than 20% blending to about 1100 crore liters, and you can proportionately increase if the blending goes up to 20%.
Okay, so roughly ballpark number, I think 1100 crore liters would be required.
1100 crore.
Okay. And when I, because our capacity in KLPD, so what would be the annual capacity if I you convert into liters? So how much liters that translate into if we have the expanded capacity would be roughly 1000 KLPD, 1095 KLPD. So how does it translate on an annual basis?
So approximately would be able to supply the next ethanol year, which is start from November or December. 25 to 26 crores liter.
Okay, so normally we multiply because in case of molasses or you know sugar base, normally one season, half of the season, normally we take for calculating the this annual capacity. So in grain also we calculate the same way, or for grain it is that whole year we normally process to produce ethanol?
Correct. Your question is very correct. See, sugar season starts from November and ends by April, or lately by the May in a few places. But grain distillery would run around 350 days in a year. And sugar mills, whatever they will store the molasses at the last crushing date, they again can be utilized in 3 to 4 months maximum, depending upon their storage capacity of molasses. So okay. You can say sugar factory on an average, they are running around 260-270 days, and grain-based
roughly 340 to 350 days.
Okay, fine. And the last one, in Potable Esprit, how much cases we have sold in this quarter for IMFL and country liquor?
For IMFL or for country liquor?
Okay, what I will do, you send me the mail, I will give you the figure. Because right now we are not having the ready data. Okay.
So we share the number of cases. No issue. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sabhi sadasyon ko, and thank you for this opportunity. When we look at the current quarter's performance, the finance cost is still hovering at around 35 crore plus. That means on comparative basis, wherever we compare within Q1Q or last year, this number is rising unabated. So if you could give us some color on what's our strategy in lowering our finance cost, that would suffice. My first question.
Saket, finance cost has gone up only because of the reason that ek to aapka term loan jo hai wo chali rahe hain, sare loan. Plus, either whatever capex we have done, that has been funded by almost term loan. Apart from this, the overall rate of interest has gone up because every bank now has come giving a very good deposit rate. So, motamoti MCLR of all the banks has gone up. So, that is the hurting us. And, of course, we are planning to reduce the finance cost, but in this year, we are not hopeful for a drastic reduction of the finance cost. Maybe from the next year onwards, maybe 25-26, yes, the finance cost will start coming down.
Okay. And that will happen, sir, only when this capacity for both our distillery and biofuel kicks in, and that will lead to improved margins and cash flows, and that will, when the repayments start, that should be the cycle we are referring to. That is the reason why there will be...
That is true. But the finance cost only because we have almost done the 1,000 crore capex.
Yes,
sir. So, 600 crore ka loan diya, to ultimately capitalized ho gaya, to aapko usko interest to dena hi padega.
Yes, sir. Correct, sir. And my sir, agar aap current maturity bhi bata dete is saal ke liye.
Maturity of what?
Loan ki kya current maturity hai? Is saal kya repayment due hai hamare?
Current year mein kareeb 250 crore rupaye ki maturity hai, including APBT.
And sir, when we look at the N Nature Biopharma numbers also, I think so, last time also when our head of Biopharma spoke, he did alluded to the fact that ki pressure hai nicotine market and all say. So sir, abhi going ahead, kya strategy banti dikh rahi hai sir current year ke liye? और अभी हमारी यूटिलाइजेशन लेवल्स और प्रोडक्ट मिक्स में क्या परिवर्तन हम कर रहे हैं इफ यू कुड जस्ट हाईलाइट हाउ दिस दिस सेगमेंट इज गोइंग परफॉर्म आई थिंक सो वी शुड हैव यस
साकेत मनीष दिस साइड साकेत द नंबर्स व्हिच यू आर सीइंग राइट नाउ फॉर दिस फर्स्ट क्वार्टर वुड एक्सपेक्टेड टू बी रिमेन सेम इन द नेक्स्ट क्वार्टर आल्सो And there could be a spike in the third quarter onwards because now we have started for the value branded nutraceuticals and all, and our facilities are being upgraded according to that. And we, shortly we are going to have USFDA and one CBE audit over there to get the certification done. After that, we would be able to sold our branded nutraceuticals in the European and American market. Otherwise, there are the other two major products like thiazolidocytosine is still really under the pressure, but still we are maintaining the pole position in all of the India by supplying some maximum salicylic acid. So the margin percentage has gone down, but we are, in absolute terms, we are having that kind of profit over there. In nicotine, because of certain new facilities came up, the price are under pressure, but now this nicotine, we are having certain major tie-ups with the local bodies who are into this making of tobacco products in more refined formats. So we are going to supply the pure nicotine to them. That is going to be added certain margin in our bottom line.
Sir, in an understanding, how are you seeing that in giving the current market conditions? Last year say abhi visibility kaisi dikh rahi hai, because these are things which are dynamic also, but taking today's condition, how should we conclude, because this is where the disappointment has been for the last year.
So are you talking about only nutraceuticals?
Mm-hmm. Only yes, only N Nature Biopharma, yes, yes. Your head.
The revenue would be more than whatever we have done in the last year, but certainly the margins are under pressure and would remain under pressure. We are just waiting to see the third quarter performance. Then if that improves, then there is a possibility that we could surpass the last year number, otherwise it would be remain same, almost same.
Right. Sir, I will join the queue 5 minutes.
You know, that is, I was almost waiting for your question. You see, as I had mentioned earlier, we are looking at two broad strategies in this space. You know, one is penetration of the regulated markets through approvals, you know, which is various standards, USFDA, etc., as Manish mentioned, and also getting into the branded nutraceutical space. As you would imagine, both of them are slightly time-consuming, so we expect that some of these pressures will continue in the near term. But there is a strategy that we are working on, which we briefly explained to you.
Rupalji, if I may just add one more point. So that given the parameters and the base which we have built for the first quarter, especially also the performance of the JV also, contribution has just doubled Q1Q. So if we have base, for this year, at least this should be a good showcase of what this year can translate, because if we take all the variables into account, or can there will be a different picture that may appear going ahead.
Sir, aap to jante ho, aap to bahut acche se track karte ho company ko, aur humne to kaha hai ki hum jab bhi aapse, we have been discussing, we have been explaining, main to kabhi numbers ke number hum predict nahi karte. We talk about macro trends as terms of what we are doing. Then we give that assessment, and I think you are good, well positioned to make an assessment. Given the fact that, you know, and meri language agar aap dekhoge, do dhai saal se consistent rahi hai. We believe that ethanol prices imported have come down a little bit. If we are lucky, we will see some more reduction in the months to come, which will impact the overall business, including the JV business, in a good way. We don't, as of now, you know, nobody can, especially in today's world, be an astrologer, but we believe that there are reasons to believe that the fundamentals of the business, which have led us to a healthy this quarter as well as last year, are not changing, and therefore these trends should continue. There is nothing which has happened suddenly because of which we've got a windfall. I think it is based on the broad strategy for the business. There is an element of macroeconomic dynamics which plays out sometimes, which we discuss with you. I don't see any major structural shifts happening there which as of now look to me to be pulling us down.
Theek hai sir, thank you. I'll join the team. Dhanyawad sir.
Thank you, Saket.
Thank you. Next question comes from Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my first question is, what's your capacity for MEG and ethyl oxide, and what would be the utilization for FY24 and quarter one of this year?
See, our capacity in terms of MEG equivalent for ethyl oxide are significantly higher than what we are producing right now. In fact, we have taken cost optimization actions to
ramp down the plant that you're running to make sure that our, you know, costs are kept in control. So from a growth perspective, that is not a concern at all. In the sense that, you know, IVL was a player in the MEG progester market where we were selling large volumes. The dynamics have changed. A lot of our business and profitability in MEG now comes from bio-based MEG. So, we don't have high capacity utilization numbers. I don't have a precise number we see right now. If you write to us, we'll give it back. Our total capacity in terms of MEG equivalent, ethylene oxide, as well as MEG put together is about 600, tons per day.
Okay, sir. And sir, what's your capacity for producing nicotine and what's the utilization right now? And what can be the peak revenue potential for that capacity as per current prices?
I don't have the precise number right now. If you could send an email to me, then or our this email ID, whatever has been given in the presentation, then we would reply to it.
Okay, sir. So there's one more question. In your IP, you mentioned that after the Kashipur expansion, your ethanol capacity would be 500 kiloliters per day. And your biofuel capacity would be 590 kiloliters per day. So will you procure more ethanol domestically for producing biofuel, or how would that work? Can you please talk a bit about that?
We have the in-house capacity to make the ethanol, as mentioned in the capacity for the Kashipur. We don't go for the buy the ethanol from the locally. We have the in-house capacity.
So, fuel, your ethanol would be only self-produced. Is that understanding correct?
There are two things that you need to understand. When we talk about our total biofuel sales, we talk about total sales from two of our sites, Gorakhpur as well as Kashipur. I think there is some confusion there, so two need to be added up. And just to clarify, no imported ethanol can be sold into biofuel, and we don't do that. It is not allowed in the country to take RS from imports and sell it into biofuels.
Okay. I have a few more questions. I'll fall back in the queue for that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. A lot of my questions have already been answered. Hope I'm audible. Hello.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to understand, like, from like our Q1 numbers are very good, so we hope to be able to sustain these numbers, like, and can the margins improve? Hello.
I've answered this question. As much as you would like to have a precise answer, and I would like to have a precise answer, and I would like to have a better answer, I explained this answer just before, that the macro trends and what the business is doing strategically, we think is the right thing, and right now things are moving in the right possible direction. I think to answer your question, whether the numbers can improve, the answer is yes. Whether I can project that the numbers will be higher, I will explain.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. No worries about it, sir. And sir, just like one small clarification, sir. I think you were saying that with the new capacities around 150-200 crores revenue we could see for this year, right? So just like it's for what part were you saying that, sir? Like our new total capex will come online in Q2 and Q3. What was it for that?
See, what I mentioned was that there is something like 15 to 200 crores of top line in this financial year that we are targeting to do based on new value-added products, which is specialty chemicals, okay? Which is a different business compared to glycols or bio-based ethanol, because the longer-term strategy of the company is to also build a good value-added, sustainable, hopefully more profitable portfolio of businesses. And so that is one part of the CapEx. Our CapEx is in several areas. Our, you know, capex of specialty chemicals was lower, but our major capex has happened in grain-based expansion or ethanol expansion. So that is what it was about. It was not, it was only with respect to specialty chemicals that I gave that number.
Oh, okay, fair enough, sir. And just wanted to understand in terms of the ramp up for our grain-based plants. So, what kind of utilization would we get in the start? Like, what kind of extra revenue could we hope to achieve from those in the current year?
As I told you, that our capacity is supposed to be 50% additional on the this year from the 1st of December. So accordingly, we hope our margin will be increased.
Yeah, but it would take some time to ramp up. Like, what kind of utilization would be able to hit in maybe the Q4 quarter? Like
around we can say 80 to 85% capacity will be utilized.
Oh, yeah, oh, okay, okay, okay. Fair enough.
What happens here is that we are quite confident that the government, we base it on based on how we see the government improving the blending. Okay, or, and we have kind of timed or phased our capacity, and what we do is, we apply for allocations. Okay, and then we have allocations and we couple our expansion plans based on allocations. I also explained in the beginning, somebody asked me a question that allocations are there, but how much sale will happen? So I said, I cannot predict, but I have looked at the trend and the actual pickup has more or less been 90 allocation, a slight percentage below. And I expect broadly the trend to continue, and we are kind of mapping our capacities to follow the government's ramp up.
Okay. Fair enough. So yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Manish Adananda, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So the first question relates to, in the last conference call of the last, Q4 24, we were expecting the margin in the country liquor space to improve on threefold factors. One, the increase in the supply rate of pods, pints and nets, and second, the increase in the volume, and third, the lowering of the packaging cost. But when we compare the EBIT with regards to the, Q1 24 available and Q1 25, the margins have, down slightly. So what factors have played out, exerted pressure on those margins? And we are already in the, first month of the Q2, and how are those factors playing in the current quarter?
See, the country liquor margin, we have increased already our volume around 30% as compared to Q1 of the last year. So certainly our overhead expenses reduced. And the packaging prices, you told, the around dip of 10 to 11% as compared to last Q1 price. Third, since we have increased our capacity in both the plants, Kashipur and Gorakhpur, so relatively our margin in the Kashipur plant little bit higher than the last Q1. So this is the reason as of now, the increasing the more profitability in the country liquor segment.
So how are these factors being playing in the second quarter and the first month? I mean, do you see any improvement in the margin going up?
No, margin would remain same because mostly country liquor, all the raw material prices, basically, feedstock prices is already fixed by the government. So, we don't think so any negative impact in the Q2.
Okay. And my second question is regarding the debt. I know I was going through the MCA website and there were certain charges being created in the month of June and July. So to the tune of 165 crores from Exim Bank and one of, I mean, two other banks. So are these the fresh borrowings or are these, you know, the modification of the charges or taken over, the loan being taken over by the other bank? So what is the rationale behind it?
That is the fresh borrowing, Manish.
Okay. So and this fresh borrowings are we are utilizing it for what capexes are we utilizing that?
For running capexes as well as raising some funds for the working capital requirements.
Okay, so our net debt as on date stands at what figure? And we were to get some money from Clarion, have we got that, and what is the delay, and when we look forward to receive that and reduce our debt?
Our debt is around 1,000 crores right now. Regarding the money which is to be received from Clarion, that is still outstanding and that will come by 31st March 25.
So this 1,000 crores that you mentioned includes the fresh borrowings of the working capital and that is being reflected in the MCO.
We are talking about the debt as on date. That's what I am saying. It means that already includes the debt which we have already taken.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time and as usual, good probing questions. It's good to be here with you all after a decent or rather good quarterly performance. And we hope as much as you hope that we'll have a positive trend continuing for the business. We are here to make sure that we have the right strategy, we execute it well, and hopefully with your good wishes continued, we'll continue to support our shareholders like all of you. Thank you very much on my behalf as well as my colleagues here who will be here on the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.